Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk. He's Jeff Johnny. Today, a lot of stuff going on in the show. We will preview the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Scott Smith. He'll join us at 12:30, so make sure you tune in for that. Otherwise, the Giants obviously are transitioning now from their offseason training program. Spring workouts, the guys are gone, and training camp begins end of July. And, Jeff, always an interesting time where teams have their fingers crossed, and they hope that they don't hear about anything from their guys until they show up at the end of July.
So far, so good. Although, we're still here. Right? I mean, we're behaving ourselves.
We're holding on the fort, absolutely. And you know what? The Bucs, I think, is one of those kind of sleeper, really difficult games that could be on the Giants' schedule this year.
Well, I mean, just, you know, we're going to go through throughout, you know, the whole schedule. Looking at the Bucs, they're an interesting team. I mean, when you look at the dynamics of what they did in the free agent market and then the draft, of course, you know, they get O.J. Howard, which a lot of guys, I know Giants fans wanted the Giants to draft. Unfortunately, he wasn't there.
Correct.
But, you know, you just kind of look at their team. They were 9-7 last year. They just missed the playoffs. And, I mean, they're kind of an up-and-coming. They're like I said, similar to the Giants. They got some offensive line problems, you know, trying to pick and choose who they're going to starters. But, really, I think they're going to be a good team. That's going to be a tough opponent for the Giants. It really will.
All right, everybody, if you want to watch the rest of the show, go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app. We'll take your calls. And then, of course, at 12:30, like I mentioned, Scott Smith from the Tampa Bay Bucs. So make sure you tune in. And we continue, Jeff, and there was a small piece of NFL news over the last couple of days. Derek Carr signing a contract extension, the largest contract in NFL history, 5 years, 125 simoleons. And not a surprise, how the league tends to work is that whatever great quarterback gets the newest contract generally gets the biggest contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just the way that it does. The money gets bigger every year. The pot grows. You know, who's going to be that next guy now? I mean, got to be – who is it? Who's going to be the next quarterback that's going to get paid like that coming up? I mean, you know, it was
– Russell Wilson already got his deal.
Yep, you got Luck, who got his deal a couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. He signed up. Yeah, I mean, the next big young guy
– kind of hard to
– Dak?
Wow. Considering he was his first year last year, right? I mean, I'm sure.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, just stay in the division. Stay in the division. You got Wentz.
Oh, no, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the next guy up. Duh.
Well, he's already killing it.
Yeah, but he's got to sign his long-term deal. So Kirk Cousins is the next guy up, and then, there is one other guy.
Are you going to give Kirk Cousins the money that Derek Carr got?
Yes.
You are?
I think they will. I'm not telling you.
I think that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Cousins, but wow. But you know what? Listen, it's like you said, the money it changes every year. The pot grows, and guys get So good for him. Good for him. You know, these guys need to make as much money as they can, and they deserve it. They really do.
Let me go see here. What other NFL quarterbacks?
Well, I'm thinking in our division.
No, there's one other guy that's up, and I can't think of who it is. Let me look it up.
Would it be Matty Ice?
No, Stafford got Matt Ryan got his money. Stafford also got his money. I'm pretty sure. Maybe it is Matt Ryan. Actually, now that you mention it,
maybe it's Tom Brady.
No, it's not Tom Brady. He's and then Jameis Winston too will eventually be up. This is only his third year though.
Well, he might be. He's going to be close because it's a 5-year rookie deal. Probably after this year, he'll want to. Is it after 4 years you can do it on the rookie deal? You can re-up.
I mean, you can. I'm not sure exactly what the what it is. Matt Ryan is a free agent in 2019, so he's coming up in a couple years. So if they want to extend him, that window is certainly open. I still feel like I'm forgetting somebody. So he's signed for 17 and 18, Matt Ryan, and then he's a free agent. So
And this is the time of the year where there's really nothing going on. So you know, this is. I mean, there really is nothing going on. I mean, other than the NBA draft last night, which I know you were tuned into because you're a basketball guy.
I am. But, that's true. And the Knicks didn't do anything stupid. Which is really all you're looking for. Hey, Dave, do me a favor. I don't have the caller doc here. Can you re-invite me or send it to me so I can see who we have on the line in terms of callers? Thank you. That's smooth. That's how you're doing the business. That's smooth, by the way. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And, you know, you wonder some of the guys that have been franchised, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to figure out a way to get their money, like the Le'Veon Bells. He's still out there. He hasn't gotten his money. Aaron Donald actually held out of mandatory minicamp. So he's out there. He has not gotten his, you know, big contract yet. We'll see if he's going to hold out. So there are guys that are sitting there that are kind of waiting for their payday, and we'll see if they can figure out. But I doubt guys will sit out regular season games. They rarely do.
Well, I mean, you look at the Giants, and really, I think there's only one. Is there one guy? How many of the rookies and have not signed? Is Ingram signed yet?
Yes.
He did sign.
All the Giants
rookies
are signed.
That's correct. Good. Yes. It's always nice. Because I remember years ago, you know, you could never get everybody signed by training camp.
That
nowadays, with the salary cap and just where they're slotted and what they make, it's a lot easier to get guys in camp. What happens is a lot of the guys that hold out, those are the ones that are tough. Remember Strahan in 07. You know, he held out and ended up getting his money, then retired.
By the way, folks, I should remind you, the Giants did announce their training camp schedule. So make sure you go to Giants.com. You can check it out. There are, 11 by my count, Dave, practices open to the public. That sounds about right if I'm doing my quick count.
That's about what it usually is.
So you can come down. Obviously, all the practices are free. A lot of them seem to be a little bit between earlier in the month. So it's between July 28th and August 14th. That's the last open practice.
Giant fans, they're all between 11 and 11:40, basically. 10:55 if you want to round up.
Yeah, so that's a nice early time. That'll be good for us. We'll probably have to shift BBK to either, you know, one or two on those days to compensate to get them on after the practice schedule.
We should do a live remote BBK out on the practice field.
Are you just trying to make more work for me? Is that what you're trying to do?
Awesome. It'd be fun, right?
Yeah.
Change it up a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe get Charlies of the world to come down and visit us at training camp.
Some tells me that they're not going to want us to stream Giants practices.
No, we don't have to stream the practice. Right. I'm seeing our set. Let us know if you think that. No, I am totally creating more work for Schmoke right now. He's like, Fiegel, shut up, please.
If you want
to come and take all the equipment out there, you can come and do it. No, that's fine. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Either way, we'll have a lot of fun. We'll give, of course, give you the inside look at what's happening at Giants practice. For the meantime,
believe it's almost here.
I know. So we're going to talk to Scott Smith from the Tampa Bay Bucs at 12:30. Until then, we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. Let's get right to it. My man, Bam Bam Bigginose. He's on line four. What's up, Bam Bam?
John, how are you today, buddy?
So you tweeted me this morning that you had an idea. What's your idea, Bam Bam?
So I listen every day. I don't call every day because I'm not going to call like Charlie and call you and bug you about the offensive line every single day.
He's up next.
Thank you.
I call when I have something new to add to the show.
Sure, go ahead.
I felt like today I have something for you guys.
Go for it.
All right.
This is essentially a radio show that the fans listen to every day. And it seems like you have a devoted group of listeners who call a lot of the same callers.
That sounds about right. Okay.
It's a tough time of the year. There's not much for you guys to talk to. You're doing a good job bringing in the people from the other teams so we can get a little insight on them.
Why not
once a week or twice a week do some sort of contest where you do trivia, where callers can call in, and we can win an opportunity to maybe come tour the practice facility or the Quex Diagnostic door or a day at the training camp where we get like an autograph session, something along those lines to keep the fans engaged as we move towards training camp here.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm not going to comment. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to create
Jeff,
more work for somebody.
For you. I have a helmet.
I just think Bam Bam's looking for free stuff.
Super Bowl champion Giants to sign.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I will definitely sign it. I will be out at training camp, not on all the days, but on selective ones they are. Since you watch it every day, I'll try to remember to tell people I'm going to be at the camp and then bring it out, and I'll sign it for you. No problem.
We'll do it. Well, I was going to say I'll mail it to you guys if I can. If you can, John can give you my Twitter. You can DM me. I'll mail it to you guys with a return.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Just send it to you guys because only Super Bowl champions can touch the
helmet. Only Super Bowl champions.
Okay, Odell Beckham, you can't touch it. I don't care how good you are. Only champions.
Well, maybe they'll
get champion helmet only.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just my opinion. I think it'd be great. I'd love to have a chance to come out to the facility and take a look, meet you guys. So if that's something you guys can pull together, I know you're going to have to probably talk to the higher-ups there, but just as a suggestion.
All right, thanks, Bam Bam. Appreciate it, man.
Well, we do have
the way, good draft pick for the Knicks last night.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. A little, an 18-year-old 6'5 guard with a 7'2 wingspan. Good defender. Can't go wrong.
And I'm wondering, I know Charlie's on the line. He's probably going to think, because this guy is from France, that he's probably had any relationship to Anthony Dubois.
That's what reminded me. Somebody after the Knicks drafted him tweeted to me and Charlie, and they said Pepe Le Pew part deux to the Knicks.
Now, I will tell you this. The guy that the Knicks drafted will play on a team. The other guy, I don't know about that.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
What's up, Chuckles?
Hey, Justin. Hey, John. How y'all doing today?
We're doing wonderful now that you're on the line.
Did you say Justin?
No, he said Jeff.
Oh, I said Justin.
No, I said Jeff.
Sorry.
I said Jeff.
Jeff.
I would never say Justin.
Of course you wouldn't. I would. I would butcher names.
Hey, I think they were drafting Parker. That's where they got this guy, from France. They think they got a next Parker. I don't know. But, Pepe Le Pew and him, man. New York, New York. Except now he's in Atlanta. That's too bad. Hey, I got an idea for you guys. I like your idea, Jeff. Like having a remote on the
practice field
or whatever.
Sorry, John.
But then you could, interview the players, have them.
Oh, sure.
Come off
that'll work. hey, Ben, by the way, can I get Eli in our big blue kickoff at 12:09?
No, not Eli. All the guys who are injured are on the sidelines doing nothing. You can have them over and
that will not happen. I can tell you right now.
Actually, you know what we should do?
We won't even approach that.
We should stay here. We'll make Charlie our roving reporter. We'll put him out there in the porch, and we'll have him go out there and try to go on the field to interview the players, and we'll see how long it takes for him to get kicked out of the facility and banned.
No, we'll make him go. We will make you go and stand by the offensive line drills so that you can tell Coach Solari and all the other guys over there how much they stink about what they do.
I would be glad to.
And you know what's going to happen? You are going to become one of the blocking dummies, live blocking dummies for them that day. And then you will never call this show and talk about the offensive line again because you would just be obliterated.
I could help Flowers. I could help Flowers a lot.
Sure you can.
Hey, for Bam Bam, you need to get Will Beatty to sign that helmet because he is a champion.
Of course he is. Yeah.
So I'll hook that up for you, Bam Bam. I'll hook that up for you. So.
Of course.
But, John, I just was wondering, did you get that package?
Did it have two books in it?
Yes.
Yes.
One for you and one for Jeff.
I was, you know what? It's funny. The package came. It said it was from Amazon, and it didn't have your name on. I'm like, who's sending me two books? And I was really confused, and I did not think that it was from you. Okay, good. So that's at least I know who that's from now.
From Amazon.
Yes.
Directly to you.
Thank you for that, Charlie. I will make sure I give one to Jeff before he leaves. They're literally sitting on my
Jeff
desk.
Jeff will need it for his golf game. And
it's a golf game.
Hey, look, that was
psychology
Steve Kerr and Pete Carroll. They live by that book. And they're both championship coaches. And I think I think you're going to see that it's going to be enlightening. And I hope after you read it, pass it on to Jerry Reese and Coach McAdoo because I think they would need it too. So anyway.
Maybe I'll give it to my son.
I hope you enjoy it. I hope it helps you out.
Thank you, Charlie. That's very nice of you. You didn't have to do that. Thank you very much.
You are a giving guy.
I've been meaning to send you that for a while, and I just got around to it.
Well, at least you know our address when you're going to send that lobster and steak and all that stuff down here, too.
Hey, I'm going to be sitting in a radio booth with you.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to lose the bet.
And I'm going to meet my cousin Ralph. I'm going to meet everybody.
You know, somehow, somehow your prize in this contest has gotten bigger and bigger every time you call. Next time you call, you're going to be wearing a headset on the damn sidelines, according to you.
You're going to be holding up the play card. All right. That's what we'll do.
I can stand next to P-Dot on the sideline.
You know what? That's not a prize. That's a punishment.
Definitely a punishment. You know what we could do for a contest? Now, listen, we're living in a fantasy world right now. But we could get our callers, if they win, they could actually call a play on one of the preseason games. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of stuff we could wish we could do. But you just know that this is just – we're just throwing it out there like we would never happen, obviously.
You're like a bull in a china shop today.
What else could we do?
Hey, it sounds good to me.
It's fun, right, to talk about.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Appreciate it. You know what we could do, John?
Just
ask, maybe ask some of our listeners and our callers, what play would you open up with the first play of the regular season? What would it be? Would it be a run? Would it be a pass?
Let's do that for next week. Next Friday, we'll make that happen. How does that sound? Or is it next Thursday, maybe?
Something else we can do. I mean, like you said, there's nothing going on right now. I mean, Dave is bringing his son, Vincent, into the studios today to kind of, you know, that just goes to show you. It's awesome. Right?
I'm just happy that someone's here to supervise Dave over there so he doesn't, you know, have his usual mistakes.
Your dad does a great job.
Yeah, he does a fantastic job. Absolutely. Let's go to Dom in New Jersey. He's up next. Hi, Dom. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Doing great, Dom. How are you?
Hi,
hey,
Dom. Wonderful. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you guys as well. I'm very excited for the weekend. Hopefully we'll get some sunshine. I know it's supposed to rain a little bit tomorrow during the day, but maybe I'll make it down to the beach. Guys, I actually wanted to quickly follow up on that question. I know you guys said you wanted to wait till next week, but I think I think the first play of next season, like in Big D down there, I really would love to see just let Eli air one out, you know, really send a statement. If, you know, have them make sure they cover us deep. Maybe go on that second down with a run, obviously try to get some yards there. But I think a nice, you know, big pickup for 30 or 40 yards to Beckham and Marshall would be a really good statement to start off the season.
Little play action pass, so maybe?
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the pass. Yeah.
I like the pass.
I don't mind opening up with a little play action. You know, try to, you know, teams probably think, oh, first play of the season, you're going to want to run the ball, you know, get like an easy completion. Nah, the heck with it. I'm with you. Play action and see if someone's able to open down the field. Why not?
I tell you, my play, I agree with you with play action. But you know that if they're going to be thinking you're going to go to one of those two guys, how about Ingram right down the middle for 40? Right off the bat, first-round draft pick, right down the middle, that two-deep safety look, boom!
Going after Sean Lee on the first
play. There you
play,
go.
Huh? How about
there
that?
There you go.
Oh, I love that. But
you are fired up today.
I love Fridays.
I got to get back. I unfortunately got to get back to work and hop and just listen to you guys off the line. I just listen to you guys every day while I'm
Go ahead, Dom. No worries.
Pretty good lunch. My last comment, I know you guys are going to say we've talked about this before, but the only thing I can feed on right now are some of these media outlets and, you know, some of these projections and stuff like that. And I absolutely hate that they think we're going to take a step back. You know, I saw something on, I think it was Pro Football Focus the other day that really kind of bashed us a little bit, said that we were going to go 8-8, our road schedule being tough. But I just don't see the quarterback play being there like it was last year. I get we play Russell Wilson, we play the guys in the division and all that good stuff. But then we play KC's quarterback, Alex Smith, I'm not a big fan of. Obviously, Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch over in Denver and, you know, some of these other QBs. We played Derek Carr and Carson Palmer down the stretch. I don't see Derek Carr obviously being a stud and Carson Palmer I don't see being at that caliber obviously as Aaron Rodgers and some of the other QBs last year. So, you know, based on, you know, their projections and things like that, it's kind of been bothering me a little bit. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, if you think that we could potentially take a step back, hoping that we don't get injuries and all that good stuff. And I'll take your comments off the air, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. And
I think you hit on it. The thing that can cause the biggest step back is injury. So assuming everybody's relatively healthy and you have the same type of injury situation as last year where you lose a couple guys, which happens to every NFL team.
Sure. Right?
You can't help that.
Yeah.
I don't see the defense taking a step back. I mean, I just don't. Guys are still right in their prime years, barring injuries. I think the defense will be just as good. The schedule is tougher, in my opinion, between the travel and the quality of the opponents. I think the three teams in the NFC East are all good football teams.
All improved.
I think all four teams in the AFC West are good football teams. I think the Chargers are better than people think. And obviously the NFC West, you know, Seattle's good.
The Rams can be good.
The Rams have a good defensive line. We'll see about Goff and the offense. I'll believe it when I see it. The Niners are not good. We know that. They're going to, you know, they're doing a slow rebuild. And the Cardinals, I think, are a lot better than the record was last year. So it is a tough schedule. And the question is, I mean, Jeff, it's gonna. I know Charlie just called up. He didn't ask about it. I'm bringing it up on my own volition, but it's going to come down. Is the offensive line going to play any better than it did last year? The weapons are there. Eli, I imagine he's going to play just as well as last year, maybe a little bit better. Can the O-line open more running holes and protect the quarterback better to allow this offense to function? Period. Done. Stop.
Yeah, and really, when you look at the weapons that are on offense, I mean, that offensive line, if they can just give Eli a little bit of time, man, you got your pick your poison.
Yep.
Who do you want to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Now, defensively, I don't think the defense is going to take a step back, and that's all going to depend on the leadership throughout the defense. Do these leaders make sure these guys understand, hey, we're only as good as people say we are. We got to prove it. We got to come back and play as good as we did last year. One thing I like about it is that JPP, if you're happy, you're getting paid, and you're healthy, you're going to play well. And I think those three things right there with JPP are going – that's those two, JPP and Olivier Vernon, coming off the season last year, both of them injured. They come back now. They're healthy. They're happy. Look out for those guys. I'm looking for a huge year out of JPP. I really am, if he can stay healthy.
Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. He'll be our final caller before our guest, Scott Smith, from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 12:30. Hi, Len.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Great.
Len, how are you, my man? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Good. I tell you, what a great time to be a Giants fan. At this five-week period, everybody's relaxed and happy and optimistic.
Except for Paul DeTino.
It's a great time to be a Giants fan. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I told John and Lance in a call. They both kind of laughed at me a little bit. There's going to be a day, probably not in my lifetime, Jeff, because I'm a little older, but there's going to be a day the fans are going to call the plays, Jeff.
I'm going to laugh again. Yeah, right?
You watch. Somewhere down the line, that's going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. I hope not. I hope not. Because you know what? It's not that far-fetched when you think about all the way the video goes and way that everything is going in the game today. God, I mean, I hope not. I mean,
all right.
But.
So here we go. John, Lance, and Jeff take suggestions on first play of the season. Get a top five. People vote. You present it to Coach McAdoo as the first play of the season from the fans.
Yeah, that'll work. All right.
There you go.
We'll take everything other than that last one.
That way you don't have to carry the equipment out to the field for training camp. I mean, you can just take all the things on. And I'm going to come up again, John. I want to see you guys again.
Great. We'd love to have you.
I'm going to step. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to pick a date, start working on it, clear my calendar, and get up there and see you guys.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, since Charlie called in the last time I followed Charlie, well, maybe it was just before Charlie called in. I guess I called first. And I gave nothing about the Giants playing in Maine. Do you remember that day?
Yes.
I don't know, John, if you
remember
that.
That. Yeah,
they played
absolutely.
A game in Bangor, Maine?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You guys had a lot of fun with that.
We
Dave
did.
Looked up some stuff. You read it on the air. And I came up with another one, John, same season. Maybe Dave will work on it if you think it's worthwhile. Same season, 1959.
Okay.
December of 59, Giants-Browns. I don't think it was the last game of the season, next to the last game. It was a home game. Unbelievably unique occurrence and actually finish to that game that you guys will get a huge kick. I don't think it's ever happened in the NFL before.
Okay.
A uniqueness, and it dominated the newspapers for a couple of days. And here's a good one. It's not play-related.
It's a streaker.
This is a good one. Maybe Dave will do a little work on it for you, if he's got a few seconds to do that. Hey, listen, you guys have a great weekend. Let's continue the optimism for the offseason. This, again, what a great five-week period to be a Giants fan.
Wait,
hey,
Len, hold on.
To you guys.
Len, hold
Thank
on.
You.
Hold on a second, Len. Don't hang up. Yeah. You need to tell us what happened. What happened
in
the game?
I thought I'd keep it as kind of like a thing if Dave wanted to do it or you wanted to look it up, which is what you did the last time when you actually read out of the newspaper what happened at that game in Bangor and all the Pro Bowlers that were in it. I'll take you to the end if you want.
Yeah, take me to the end. Take me to the end.
Okay. Giants actually won the East that year. 12-game season. I think they went 9-3.
Okay.
I don't think this was the last game of the season. It may have been the next to the last, but they clinched the East, went on and lost to the Colts in the championship game.
Okay.
They really beat up the Browns that day.
Yeah, 48-7 was the final.
Right, 48-7. About 2 minutes to go in the game, the fans stormed the field.
Okay.
They actually had to stop the game. Paul Brown took the Browns off the field. He was worried about his team. They actually went into one of the dugouts. You know, that's where they came out of the dugouts in those days at Yankee Stadium. Took them back into the locker room until the police and everybody else could get the fans off the field to finish the game.
Did the fans think the game was over? Why'd they charge the field?
I just went out and, you know, committed some mischief. headed for the goalposts, totally out of control.
Oh man!
I'm living in L.A. at the time. Rams season ticket holder. I'm a young kid at that point. I'm a sophomore in high school, but Dad got us Rams season tickets. We're on our way to the Rams game. And a 3 hours difference, obviously, in time frames, and we're heading for the L.A. Coliseum. Yeah, trying to pick up a sports report on what are the Giants doing today? How are they doing? You know, it's not like. You know, there was no ESPN, obviously.
Of course.
You couldn't get sports. You couldn't run it up on your phone. You had to wait to get some kind of sports report, maybe a pregame Rams game where they ran through the scores a little bit. And we get this sports report, a riot at Yankee Stadium. Fans stormed the field. nothing about the score.
That's funny. Good stuff, Len. We appreciate
right,
it, bud.
Enjoy your five weeks.
I'll keep feeding you unique games in Giants history, John.
Okay,
go for it.
I don't think that's ever happened in an NFL game before.
Now make sure next time you do this, you call up when Paul's here, because Paul, I'm sure, will add some type of historical anecdote.
Well, I was tempted to hold it, but everything seemed to be kind of relaxed today, so I thought I'd throw that.
No, this
out.
Is perfect. Absolutely, thank you, Len.
Okay, take care.
Great.
Bye.
See you,
now,
Len.
Here's the question. Present day, with Tino on the sideline, what would he do if the fans stormed the field? Would he, like, try to stop the fans? Would he just charge in, win the fans, and, like, get kind of caught up in everything? What do you think Paul would do?
He would do his fastest version of Nike walk right up through the tunnel to get the heck out of the way.
You think he'd get out of the way?
And on the way, he would be, and guys, I got to tell you, oh, my God, they're all over the place.
See, now, what I would do, I would find Howard Cross and hide behind him.
Oh, no question. Nobody's going to move Howard. People will run Tino over. They don't care about Tino. But Howard, they're not going to run him over.
That is also similar to my, you know, plane accident plan. Like, if you have to evacuate the plane.
Right. Yeah.
My plan is to just jump on Howard Cross's back.
Yeah,
and I will go wherever Howard goes. I have full faith that he will get out of there as quickly as possible.
Barrel through.
Knock everybody out of the way.
Yeah, because, guys, the players all sit up in the front.
Correct.
And the staff sits in the back. So
and Howard's
you're
by
probably
far
saying, why are you picking Howard? There's a lot of other bigger football players. Well, they're all up in the front.
Well, and Howard's only two seats in front of him.
There you go.
So
there's your exit plan.
Exit plan is Howard Cross. Absolutely right.
You would just jump on his shoulders, grab him and just hug him. Howard, let's go.
He wouldn't even know I was on
his
back.
No, he wouldn't.
He would have no idea. All right, let's get to our guest. We're joined from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's a good job covering them. That's Scott Smith, works for the Bucs. Scott, you got John Schmelk and Jeff Fiegels up here.
Hey, Scott.
In East Rutherford, New Jersey. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today, man. How are you?
Good afternoon to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. I'm happy to catch you before. I'm sure you go on your vacation here in July, like the like the rest of the National Football League.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, I think the Bucs are going to be pretty good this year. I don't see any reason why they can't compete for a wild card spot. Obviously, they finished tied with the Lions last year at 9-7, lost that on the tiebreaker. I think you guys have a pretty good team. You made some good additions in the offseason. What's the general mood about Tampa, about the type of noise that the Bucs might be able to make this year?
That's a good question. And you guys know at this time of the year in almost every NFL city, it's optimism, right? but I've been around this team for a long time, including the Super Bowl year and the surrounding years around that. And, you know, I think this one is up there in terms of the most optimistic atmosphere we've had here. It's since at least 2011 when we were coming off a similar year where we went 10-6 but lost to the Wild card spot on a tiebreaker. You know, like I said, there's optimism every year, but I think it's a lot higher this year because we finished strong in the second half last year, barely missed the playoffs, and then the offseason additions seem to have been right on point for the things that we were missing.
Well, I think that, you know, if you're a Bucs fan, you got to be excited. Number one, in free agency, you go out and get DeSean Jackson, which is, you know, listen, if a guy can run down the field, he's one of them that can get over the top, and Jameis Winston certainly can get it to him. And then, you know, you go into the draft, and everybody's high on O.J. Howard. You guys pick him up. So offensively, where do you see this offense ranking in the National Football League with the addition of these two guys?
Yeah, that's probably the main two guys I was talking about. The one thing that this offense was lacking last year was explosive plays. We were the only team in the league that didn't have a completion of 50 yards or more.
Wow.
And general manager Jason Light made it very clear right at the beginning of last year. He and Dirk Cutter sat down and they said, actually, they realized this, you know, before last season was over. There just isn't enough speed on this offense. So speed was the key. Obviously, DeSean Jackson has that. O.J. Howard for a tight end has that. And it should open up the offense quite a bit more. You know, Mike Evans has had an enormous amount of targets the last 2 years and had, you know, wonderful results. But he should have a lot more. You think adding these guys might reduce his numbers, but I'm not sure about that because there should be a lot more open space for him. He's just not going to be able to be concentrated on by the defense quite as much.
Yeah, getting more big plays is one. The second thing, I got to imagine, Scott, that they're trying to reduce is the number of turnovers, and that's thing that kind of ticked up with Jameis Winston last year. Is one of his criticisms, and legit ones coming out of Florida State, is that he tended to try to force the ball where it didn't belong, and he got a little bit too aggressive. What are the kind of things have they done trying to calm that down and have Jameis be a little bit more protective of the football this offseason?
Well, I think they view it as a growing process, and not necessarily surprising that he would have that issue early in his career. And he's been particularly good at identifying and accepting where his game has weaknesses and really drilling down on them. So you know this is his number one thing that he's focusing on. And getting back to what we were just talking about, I think a wider array of explosive weapons around him will help. He doesn't have to force the ball to Mike Evans as often as he has been doing. The other thing about that is, he proved last year that he was surprisingly effective out of the pocket. So if he can continue to add those big plays on sort of broken plays, but then as you alluded to, just make better decisions on the other throws, I think he could take it to the next level. We're talking about a guy that already has 2 4,000-yard seasons in his career, 50 touchdowns in 2 years. You're right, though. The problem is the interceptions.
Well, you know, if we stay on the offense and you're talking about Jameis Winston, you're talking about all the additions that they made at the skill position, you know, not a lot of talk about the offensive line in a positive way. I know that there's still a lot of people think they didn't address the issue in the offseason. Talk to us a little bit about Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
What's up with him and where that offensive line is going to shape up this year?
I'll tell you, if there's any position on this entire team where I think there's a bigger disconnect between the overall outside opinion of the group and the way the guys, Dirk Cutter and Jason Light and them feel about it, it's offensive line. I think they are a lot higher on the group that we have. And you saw that when it really wasn't addressed in the draft, as an example, or in the offseason. But we did sort of make an addition in that we signed J.R. Sweezy in free agency last year, but he missed the whole year due to a back injury. And he's back now, and he's playing, and the way it looks now, he's going to be starting, so it's sort of like an addition. And we're moving Ali Marpet, who's been pretty good his first 2 years as a guard, to center, and that's going to allow them to put J.R. Sweezy and Kevin Pamphiel in the lineup, and now all of a sudden you've got a line that averages about 6'6 and 315 pounds. It's a lot bigger in the middle than it used to be, and if Marpet can handle that center job, I think they're going to do a better job of opening up holes in the middle. Obviously, you asked about Donovan Smith specifically, and it's no secret that he struggled at times last year in his second year, but he was much better in the second half, and that really gave the brain trust here a lot more confidence in him.
Yeah, I feel like the Bucs and the Giants are kind of in similar situations
exactly.
with their left
yeah.
tackles
with
Flowers
right tackle
and Smith,
too.
Right.
Yeah. Ali Marpet, did he play center in college, or was this just a raw move? He moved from guard to center, just he never played it before?
He was actually, as you guys probably know, up there, he played at Hobart, that Division III school, and he was actually a tackle.
Oh, wow.
But, we're talking about against much weaker competition. So he immediately, in the draft process in 16, he immediately profiled in 2015 as a guard. But now I think they think his most natural position could be at center.
Interesting. And how about the running game? I mean, if you look at, if you kind of equate Doug Martin's career like the heart monitor, it's like he's a like a heart attack. It's either great or it's just brutal. Where is Doug Martin right now? The Bucks did add a running back late in the draft this year. What do you think they're going to add Doug Martin? What's his health status? And what do you think the backup plan is?
Well, you want to see that cardiogram peak again this year, right? But it probably can't get quite as high as 2012 and 15 because he's going to miss the first three games no matter what.
Right.
You know, he's finishing up the suspension from last year. He looks as good as he did at this time of the year in 2015 before he had a monster year. He has gotten his personal life in order. He's focused on football. And I think they're pretty optimistic about him, but the whole position is pretty deep. We did draft a guy who's like a Doug Martin clone in Jeremy McNichol, even also from Boise State. And, you know, Jacquizz Rodgers was pretty good for us last year. We have Charles Sims. So there's a lot of players there. So we should be able to handle a three-game absence. And by the time he comes back, it'll be interesting to see what the situation looks like there. But I know that running the football is absolutely paramount for Dirk Koetter and his offense. Last year we didn't get nearly the results in the running game as we had the year before, but if you looked at the frequency of the runs and the frequency of the runs on first and 10, it was exactly the same as the year before. So he kept trying to run the ball. We just didn't get the results.
And plus, Doug Martin's still going to be on a three-game suspension coming into the 2017 season, correct? So,
yeah.
You know, these guys, it's going to be – but I hope he does well. I really do.
And by the way, out of curiosity, real quick, who do you think will be the guy that will step in for Martin in those three games? Is it going to be Charles Sims? Are they going to trust the rookie? Is it going to be a combination of Jacquizz Rodgers and somebody else? How do you think they'll handle those three games?
My suspicion would be that it would be Jacquizz Rodgers who would be your starting guy. Charles Sims really excelled in a third down and change of pace type of role in 2015. He didn't have as good results last year when he had a chance to really be the number one guy for a while, so I think they want him in that role.
Okay.
And so you start with Jacquizz Rodgers, who you kind of know well, and you give Jeremy McNichols, the rookie, his chances in those first three games, and then you ride the hot hand. And if Jeremy McNichols proves to be the hot hand, then I would imagine he could take that job.
So, Scott, let's talk a little bit about the defense. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they go out, they lose Bradley McDougal. It goes to Seattle, the strong safety, 91 tackles last year. That's a lot of production out of that position. Akeem Spence goes to Detroit. But then they go and they get Chris Baker and J.J. Wilcox to kind of replace those guys. Talk a little bit about the defense, especially Chris Baker. I think that's a nice addition for that defensive line.
I feel the same way. I think it was one of our sort of more under-the-radar signings. Obviously, you guys know him well, though. He had a real good year last year. You mentioned Akeem Spence, who is really more of a rotational guy, not necessarily a guy that gets a lot of pressure. We had some injuries there. Clinton McDonald was really the starter next to Gerald McCoy before he got hurt. So if Chris Baker wins the starting position next to Gerald McCoy, which I think is what they expect, then Clinton McDonald sort of becomes your rotational guy, and you've still got as much depth there as you had before. And the hope is that Baker's ability to penetrate up the middle will ease the number of double teams on Gerald McCoy and you know, maybe allow him to take his game to another level. And then J.J. Wilcox, Bradley McDougal did start all year for us. We had a very solid year. I think they want, out of the safety position as a whole, I think they want more big plays. And we started to get that down the stretch from a guy named Keith Tandy, who finished the season off real well. But in general, I think they're hoping that whoever's in there, J.J. Wilcox, we got quite a battle there because we drafted Justin Evans as safety in the second round. Mm-hmm. So whoever's in there, I think they just want more big plays out of.
I'll stick at the safety spot real quick. Do you think Justin Evans, a lot of people actually had him going as a late first-round pick. A lot of people were very high on him. Did he show the mental ability to pick up the playbook and play that deep center field safety position from what you saw in the spring?
Can't really answer that because he hasn't practiced yet. He was overcoming it.
I didn't know that.
He had a little procedure done right after the combine, I believe. And
got it.
He's supposed to be ready by the start of training camp, but he hasn't practiced yet.
Got it. No problem. I didn't realize he was hurt. That's my mistake. On defensive line, Noah Spence is a guy that was a second-round pick. A lot of people thought he was one of the best pure pass rushers in the draft 2 years ago. Do you think he has a chance to break into the starting lineup, or is he still going to be a rotational defensive end for you guys?
Well, if I can pass on the the opinions of his teammates, I would have to say he's primed for a big year. Some of the other guys on the defensive line, like Robert Ayers, who you guys would know,
yep,
are just huge on Noah Smith. They think he's going to have a huge year. Ayers thinks he's going to be a double-digit sack guy this year.
Wow.
The funny thing about Spence, and you asked me specifically about starting, is he came in last year, and the idea for him was he was going to be a designated pass rusher, a third down guy. But we had so many injuries on the offense, on the defensive line, they ended up playing a lot more. And ironically, he got a shoulder injury, a dislocation pretty early in the season, and he had to wear a harness the whole year. And he says that actually helped him with his form in tackling, and he was much better against the run than we really expected him to be as a rookie.
Wow.
So I don't think there's any obstacle standing in the way to him starting, except for the fact that you have Robert Ayers here and also William Golston, who we just re-signed in March, who's our best run-stopping end. So I think it's still going to be a rotation, but he's going to get plenty of snaps.
All right, so being a specialist, I got to ask you a little bit about the kicking position. I mean,
of course.
We all know kind of what happened last year, high draft pick, the kicker, how do you take a guy that high in the draft? Struggles
sure.
A little bit. You get Nick Folk from, we all know up here with the Jets, he's in camp. There's going to be a competition there. How did that go this spring, and what do you think?
I think it's going to go to the guy who makes the most field goals during the preseason.
Really?
I honestly think this team is not going to force keeping the second-round draft pick from 2016. If
wow.
Folk is the better kicker, he's going to get the job.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that's going to be the case. I mean, this is a talented kid.
Yeah.
And in the mini camp we just had last week, both of them performed really, really well. So I don't think either one has moved ahead of the other one yet. The competition should really get going in training camp. And I guess I would add in how they kick in training camp in addition to the preseason games, but the games would be the most important. But our GM has said clearly this is definitely a competition. We're not just going to default to the draft pick. It doesn't matter how they got here.
Sure.
The best player is going to win.
Wow. Interesting, because a second-round draft pick is a coveted number.
I hear you.
And,
I hear you.
Especially when it's
actually the Bucks traded up to get that, so
yeah.
It actually cost two picks.
Interesting. Well, I know that the Bucks fans got to be pretty happy. I mean, listen, their offseason was one of the best, according to a lot of the specialists around the league. They say, hey, they had a great offseason. Jameis Winston seems to be in his third year, going to be, the leader that you guys wanted him to be. I think he's going to have a good year. A lot of people around him. The defense is pretty much intact from what they were last year. And they're going to compete. And the Giants going to have a tough game. They have to play them on the road up there. So it should be some good competition this year for sure.
That's our hardest stretch of the season right there. We play the Giants on the first, and then 4 days later play the Patriots.
Oh, wow. That is a tough stretch.
It's going to be rough.
All right, let them prepare well for the Patriots and just kind of.
Scott, look past that game, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got two more quickies on the defense. I love your two starting corners of Vernon Hargraves and Brent Grimes, two not the biggest guys in the world now, but they know how to cover people.
Oh, they're veterans.
Exactly.
Definitely.
When you go to nickel, who goes inside, and then who would be your third corner off the bench?
Yeah, I personally think that's one of the big things we have to figure out in training camp. And the behind those two starters, the depth of experience isn't real strong.
Yeah.
We had three different guys that played the nickel last year. Started off with Vernon Hargraves, who was kind of going in and out, but they changed their mind and put him on the outside. And then a young guy named Judaje Burima was the guy for a good portion of the season and played pretty well, but got a suspension. And then a undrafted rookie from Florida State named Javian Elliott finished it off. And he's a former walk-on, also not a big guy, but he played pretty well. So you got those two guys, and then we signed the former Falcon who knows the defense, Robert McClain. And all three of those guys will compete for the nickel job. As for the third outside corner, I think the guy they want to win the job is our fourth-round pick from 2016, a guy named Ryan Smith from North Carolina Central, who they actually tried to convert to a safety last year, but at the end of the year realized he was better at cornerback. So he's back there now, and he's looked really good this offseason, but, he really has no experience yet. So it's a position that lacks a little depth, for sure.
How well did Hargraves play as a rookie?
He was your typical rookie in that, he got better as the season went along. The thing they really wanted from him, and he started to show last year towards the end, is they wanted him to be more aggressive. I mean, he's a really talented, athletic guy. But he probably, like a lot of rookies, was a little leery of being overly aggressive and getting burned. So this offseason, they've been pushing that on him, play more aggressively. And he's probably been our best defensive player during the entire offseason. He just makes plays on the field every day in practice. So I think they got real high hopes for what he's going to do this year.
Well, a lot of times those guys, you know, it is. It's that they're afraid to make mistakes. And after they get a year under their belt and coaches are telling them, hey, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Go out there and just play the game and we'll make up for it. But more times than not, you're going to make a big play for us. And that's kind of what we want to go for. And a young kid like that, very athletic, it seems to me that he's kind of kicking into the coaching and he's got a good thing ahead of him. So that's good thing. Good to hear.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
The linebackers, you know, you got a couple younger guys in there, and I still think of Levante David as a younger guy. I know he's been in the league for a while now. Quan Alexander. It looks like the three guys you guys are running out there, you know, they're not going to, you know, make any monster players. They're not going to wow anybody. But at the same time, they don't make a lot of mistakes either. Is the front office pretty happy with the solid core they've put together? And, of course, they also drafted Kendall Beckwith, who's supposed to be an excellent run stopper this year.
Yeah, I would say that actually I disagree a little bit. I think Levante and Quan are both guys capable of making a lot of really big plays.
Okay.
Levante's had a couple years. He had one year where he had six sacks and he had seven sacks and six interceptions, which is a pretty rare combination.
That is, you're right.
I think he had another five sacks and three interceptions last year. Quan's a big play guy. In fact, Quan is more of a guy that makes a lot of splash plays, but it needs to be more consistent on a play-by-play basis, and that started to happen last year. I kind of think Quan and Levante at the Mike and Week and Will positions are really strong. The issue is that Sam, the strong side spot, that guy only plays about 50% of the snaps because he comes off on a nickel.
But of course.
It looks like it's going to be either Beckwith, he hasn't practiced yet because he had an injury at the end of last year, or a guy we drafted in the sixth round the year before from Oklahoma named Devontae Bond. So whoever it is going to be an inexperienced guy. So that's probably where it's a little more shaky.
And that's why we ask the questions. That's why we have you on to learn stuff. Absolutely. A final question, I guess, for me. The NFC South, I think it's a real – interesting and, frankly, a pretty strong division. I don't think enough people talk about it. There's no reason to think the Panthers probably aren't going to be a little bit better this year, given how down they were last season. Obviously, Drew Brees and the Saints are always dangerous. The Falcons represented the conference in the Super Bowl, and you guys are an up-and-coming young team. How do you break down the NFC South and kind of where the Bucs stand in that hierarchy right now?
Man, you're right. I think it's extremely good division. I'm a homer probably, but if somebody on the outside were to rank the four quarterbacks in our division, we've got Jameis Winston, who's got 8,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in 2 years, and they'd probably rank him fourth because you've got the last two MVPs and Drew Brees in our division.
Absolutely.
It's kind of ridiculous. I don't see the Falcons having a Super Bowl hangover, really. Their roster didn't really change a whole lot. I know they lost their offensive coordinator, and that could be big if we're crossing our fingers hoping for some way they'll decline. But they got most of the same pieces. I kind of figure the Panthers will rebound a little bit. I don't think they were as bad as they were last year. And I'd like to write off the Saints because their defense is always a question mark. But with Drew Brees, you can never really write them off. So, I would have to say the Falcons are the favorite again. And I think we're going to be right there, though. I mean, we split with the Falcons last year. I think we always play well against – not always, but we commonly play well against them. I think we got a shot. I just think the division is just so rugged.
Well, it's kind of big. I kind of see that division a lot like the NFC East division. I think all teams are capable of winning nine games. And, maybe it's gonna take that 10-game winning record to get into the playoffs. You know, the Falcons – I agree with you. I don't think they're going to have much of a hangover. I mean, losing your offensive coordinator, it can be a big deal. But, I mean, when you got Matty Ice and those guys and be able to come in there and do what they can. You know, you look at the Saints, they go out and get Adrian Peterson. I don't know how much that's really going to – if it's going to hurt them or help them.
Actually tried to help their defense in the offseason a lot, too.
A little bit, yeah. I agree with you. I think this division is up for grabs. And I think the Falcons, if you give them the tip of the hat, and I think they're the better team of all four of them. But, I think the Bucs can compete. I really do.
Yeah, the Panthers are the question mark to me because, they added those two guys, McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel – who knows what they're going to do with those guys, but it's totally different than the type of offense they've run for years now with Cam Newton. So that could work out great, or it might not work out. So they could go either way, I think.
And Cam Newton, you know, he's coming off an injury. He knows, you know, how that's going to go. And but it would be interesting. So right around the corner, the start of the season, it's really we can't believe that it's almost here. I know we got about 5 weeks left to go before training camp opens around the league, but a lot of people are excited about the Bucs, about the Giants. I know we're excited over here, and we're just great to have you on our show.
Scott, great stuff. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Smith, fantastic job. Covers the Bucs for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their senior writer and editor. Excellent information there. And you know what? He's absolutely right on Alexander and David. I looked at some of the rankings on Pro Football Focus the last couple of years, and they're all kind of around league average, which is why I asked the question the way I did. But if you look inside their specific numbers with the sacks and interceptions, he's absolutely right. And those guys have made some big plays.
That's ridiculous to having that many sacks and interceptions from a line. Was he a, was that a middle linebacker position? Or
Levon David is a weak side linebacker.
The weak side. The Will. Sorry. Cracking my knee there. Sorry. Did I kick you?
No, you didn't kick me. You're just getting old. It's okay.
So are you. Every day.
Absolutely.
Wait till you have your kid.
Oh, yeah. It's coming, really it's coming fast and furious, by the way.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
the over-under on the due date, August 3rd, was it you said?
It's the first one, so I think you have to go over.
You got to go over.
Usually they're late on the first.
So does Katie have any sisters or brothers or they're married have kids?
Yeah, she's the baby. She has two older brothers, and they both have two kids.
Interesting. Okay. That's always fun.
Yeah, and there are already boys and girls in the family on her side. It'll be the first girl on my side because my older sister has three boys but no girls.
Wow, going to be spoiled.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
The girl is going to be spoiled, a little schmuck girl.
Absolutely.
Do we have a name yet?
No, we do not. That's actually going to be a conversation this weekend that I must be prepared for.
Maybe we should get some names from the Big Blue Crew.
There is. What are you doing to me? What are you doing to me today?
There's 5 weeks of nothing going on, so I'm trying to fill the show, man.
It's actually pretty good. It's funny. And not to get too off. I was going to ask you about the NFC South, but I think this is more interesting. Not to get too far off track here. The problem that I'm having is that I can't have a name that reminds me of somebody that I know. So I can't really use a name of somebody that I'm friends with or know. And, you know, in our industry, you meet a million people.
That's what I'm saying.
People you went to school with.
I think you should go away from that theory. You need to get away from that theory.
No, but you automatically hear the name and you relate it to the person that you know with that name. So if you throw out a name and it's someone that's been annoying or you don't like, then all of a sudden you can't go with that name. Like I would never name my kid Lance. I could never do that.
I would never let you name your kid. If you would come to me and say, "Fix, I'm gonna name my kid Lance. What do you think?" I'm like, "No, you're not. You're not going to name your kid Lance."
I would have the negative connotation of Lance Meadow. Yeah. And no one wants to be reminded of Lance Meadow.
And you would have the horrible nightmares of knowing that your kid's going to grow up to be 5'1". Right? Lance doesn't watch the show. He doesn't care.
That's true.
That's fine.
He only cares about the show when he's on it.
Exactly. Well, I can see that. I mean, it is tough. Names to me was one of the toughest things. It's really difficult.
It is very hard. But I think the girl name would be better than the boy name because the problem with the boy name is that and you followed sports as a kid.
Oh my god!
With all these athletes that you follow, you relate a name to everybody, so that makes it even tougher.
Or you can take two names and put them together, like a lot of people do.
No, I'm not. That's not happening. I'm more of a traditional.
Because you got to understand too, going down the road when your kid grows up, is that if you have a name that's very difficult to spell or pronounce, it's going to be a nightmare for them growing up.
And I already have that as a last name, so I don't want to do that to the first name.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. And that's the other thing too. I also like to have names that can be shortened. And the first thing I always think of, if we name the kid this, how can they be made fun of in school? And I always worry about them taking, you know, kids taking the name. You can combine it with the last name. You have to look what the initials are going to be. All those things you have to take into consideration. I think I'm kind of driving my wife nuts because I overanalyze every single name she comes up with, and it's annoying the you-know-what out of her. That's all I'm saying.
Just know that you have to have a name the day that they go to the hospital.
We'll have it in the next few weeks, but we will keep it on the wraps. That will not be announced until the kid's actually born.
All right,
it's
here
time
we go.
For everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow. Vincent.
Hundreds of players.
You're like Eagles with the Eagle.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
All right. Did you play with
Jeff
Fiegel?
Hold on, let's tell real quickly. Recap score.
You've been splitting pretty much every week for the past couple months. Right now you're 25-20. Fans aren't going to be able to see that, Jeff. It's okay. But there you go. I'll tell them. He's 25-20.
27-20 sounds good.
We have three names for you today.
Three? 28-20 sounds good.
Actually, you know what? I'll go four.
Come on.
I have a fourth page open here. Dude, we have 4 minutes to fill.
All right. You're trying to get me to go 25-20, whatever.
I'm trying to get you closer to the 500 mark. All right, Jeff Fiegels, did you play with Carl Dunbar? Did you play with Carl Dunbar?
Yes, defensive lineman
with the
Cardinals.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You actually got that right. I thought that was the winning prices right, too. Sorry. There we go. My bad.
Go,
you
man.
Did. He yeah. was a defensive end for the Cardinals. Yes. I didn't think you had a chance at that. Yeah. He only played in 8 games over 2 years.
He coaches in the NFL now.
That's a really good job, Jeff. Where does he coach?
I know he coached with all over. With the Jets. I think he coached with the Saints. I now think he is with Alabama as a defensive line coach.
All right, Jeff, I got to tell you, that impressed me. I thought I had you with Carl Dunbar. Okay. Did you play with Jim Maxwell?
Yes, I did play with Jim Maxwell. He was a linebacker with the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm going to give you the win because you got 2 out of 3.
Okay.
He was a linebacker for the New York Giants in 2004.
Maxwell.
But he was a linebacker. You didn't play with him, so you got 2 out of 3.
All right. Yeah,
that's a win.
Of course I did.
Oh, man. That's also impressive. He played with 14 games that year, but he did not start any.
He was with the Giants. That's
8 tackles and 1 sack.
Because I played, Vincent, I was Seahawks and Giants, so that was a close, right?
Yes, that was close. That was 04. It was your first year with the Giants, too.
It was 04.
So that was second year with the Giants. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Did you play with Joe Ross?
Joe, I did play with an Aaron Ross.
I know. Did you play with Joe Ross?
I don't think I played with a Joe Ross.
Correct. You did not play with Joe Ross. I just made Joe Ross up.
All right, there we go. Let's go, Friday.
The final one.
You win.
You're doing tremendous here, Jeff.
You
I got to tell you.
You win.
Did you play with Mark Higgs? Did you play with Mark Higgs?
I probably did, and this is one of those questions where he's going to be a guy that played like 2 games in 1990, and I don't even remember him, but I'm going to say no, I did not play with Mark Higgs. I knew it. Yeah, see, I knew it. I'm now getting the tendencies of this game.
You did. You went 3 for 3 on 3 really tough ones.
Okay.
You play with Mark Higgs. he was on the Arizona Cardinals in 1994 and 1995.
Both years? Full?
No. He played 6 games in 94, and he played 1 game in 95.
There you go.
That was a tough one.
What was he? A linebacker?
He was a running back.
Oh,
and he also returned kicks for Philadelphia a little bit.
I do not remember him. That's really bad.
That's not that bad.
All right, so 3 out of 4.
He returned. You know what? Maybe he should have had this one because he actually returned 4 punts for the Cardinals while you were with them.
4.
So 3-1 today. You're at that 28-21. Man, you are kicking my butt. I'm going to start bringing assistant coaches into the mix here. Make it real hard on you.
Yes, that would be very difficult. you know what? I'm wondering. I would let you throw a coach in there.
I might try to mix it up.
Coach in there.
I tell you what, I'm not running out of players.
But you got to tell me if it's a coach, though, because a lot of the guys that I played with were actually coaches.
I could do that. That's okay.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining
Friday,
us.
Yeah.
Enjoy your July weekend or June weekend, whatever there is. June weekend. I'm shot. Have fun. It's supposed to rain, I know, but try to get out there. It's supposed to stop Saturday morning, I think. Get out there, enjoy your Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday afternoon is going to clear up.
I know. We will. Tomorrow, about next week, rather, starts our Fridays off until training camp gets here. So no show Friday. We'll be on Monday through Thursday. Make sure you check it out. We'll be on here every day, Monday through Thursday.
Previewing again next week, right?
And, yeah, we continue our preview of the schedule, so make sure you check it out. Then, of course, we're off the week of July 4th. So we'll have a little hiatus, and then we'll be back. But tomorrow on Monday, we'll see you then. For Fiegels, I'm Schmelk. Adios, everybody.
See you guys.
Have a great weekend.